Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
Take it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground and pound by Nogueira.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hultgren, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. It is fight day. UFC 209 is tonight. And of course, the big news is that Khabib Nurmagomedov did not make it to weight, which means, of course, if you haven't been following along with this story, that he was rushed to the hospital yesterday and ended up missing the weigh-in window. So therefore, the fight between Tony Ferguson and Khabib Nurmagomedov is off. Now, there's a lot of stuff around this fight that we want to talk about, and of course, a lot of stuff that we're going to miss tonight since UFC 209 is not nearly as interesting. In fact, it's so non-interesting with the removal of that fight that the fight that was moved up to the main card for tonight is between Amanda Cooper, who's 1-1 in the UFC, and Cynthia Calvallo, who's never fought in the UFC. So at 115 pounds in the women's division, you get a combined 2 fights in the UFC. Those two end up on the main card, which to me is ponderous at best and ridiculous at worst. We'll talk about the rest of the card, but I do want to go back and talk about Nurmagomedov's illness. So it was 4 a.m. according to Dana White, Las Vegas time, when he learns about it. But the problem is Nurmagomedov had already gone to the hospital without telling anyone at the UFC. And so they ultimately, without getting into all of the gnarly details, didn't go through the proper channels. And according to Dana White, could have saved this fight. According to him, he says this, quote, basically his team has decided to take him to some random hospital here in Las Vegas instead of picking up the phone and calling our doctor who runs all the medicals. They went rogue, went out and did their own thing. Had they done it the right way, the fight probably could have been saved. Now, the issues from the weight cut made it so Nurmagomedov had to be hospitalized. And Tony Ferguson said nothing but great things, wanting Nurmagomedov to feel better and everything, and then we'll see what happens in the future. But a couple things before we get into anyone who's mad that Tony Ferguson didn't take a replacement fight. Let me say this. One, Nurmagomedov has fought exactly 3 times in the last 3 years. I'll say that again. Nurmagomedov has fought 3 times in the last 3 years. Conor McGregor has fought 10 times in the last 4 years. So when people think that he's ducking Nurmagomedov, this is the reason why he doesn't want this fight, because you can't trust the guy to actually make it. This is the second time it happened. First time was against Abe Trujillo. He didn't actually make weight against Abe Trujillo, and that was in 2013. So we've got 2 issues of him not making weight, one of them that actually blows up the co-main event at UFC 209. So what do you do with him? Now, for me, I'm a little bit harsher than most people, and I think that this is a guy that if he can't be trusted to do what matters when it matters, I think, you know, I think you talk about cutting him. I know that sounds crazy, but what do you do with this guy? He's fought 3 times in the last 3 years. So even if he goes through and works his way back up, which I certainly think he should, anyone, and there's lots of people on Twitter who's talking about, oh, he should get Conor next, or we should rebook this fight. Guys, this is the third time this fight has been booked. The third time. And the third time, it hasn't happened. Ferguson Nurmagomedov has passed, my friends, much like GSP Anderson Silva in their prime. It is passed. What's next? Ferguson should get Conor McGregor. And I was talking to Diz on Twitter. You can find him at Talk MMA. His idea is that he wants Barboza Dariush. He wants him to fight the winner, then Eddie Alvarez. And if he wins both of those things, then, maybe then, he gets the number one contendership. However, I don't know that, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I think the bigger issue, of course, and we won't do this here because we've got a lot of things to cover here this afternoon. The bigger thing here is we have to talk about weight in mixed martial arts, because it's a huge problem. Because Nurmagomedov got within 6 pounds, and that's, you know, that's as far as he got. And then his body shut down on him. And all of that stuff is bad. Bad for your livers, bad for your kidneys. It's bad, 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 bad. And of course, ultimately, bad for the human being and bad for the organization. Because now you've got the biggest fight, most competitive fight, most interesting fight in all of 2017. And for a third time, has not happened. And that's a problem. And Ferguson, for people who are like, how come he didn't take the fight with Michael Johnson? How come he didn't go with anyone else? Well, he doesn't have to do that, guys. It's not his fault. He doesn't have to fix this. Nurmagomedov is the one that blew this. And Ferguson said he had a tough time too. So I think at some point we need to have a really, really big conversation about weight in MMA. And, you know, should these guys fight closer to their weight? It's the biggest problem in the organization after performance-enhancing drugs is this weight cut and the people who are making this huge weight cut. And when you've got a guy like Nurmagomedov who doesn't make the cut and has fought three times in 3 years, I would be super nervous about putting him in anything real for any time in the near future because he just can't be trusted to make it there for either injury or weight cut or a combination of the two of them. And if Ferguson at 33 is also having a hard time making this cut, again, you know, maybe it's time to go up to 170. That's what he did at the Ultimate Fighter, and maybe that's his body saying that that's what he needs to do. So, you know, I don't know. I can't imagine for Tony Ferguson what kind of a nightmare scenario this is. I can't imagine. I was talking to a friend yesterday going through all of that hell, making the cut, doing all the press that they make you do, doing all of that stuff, and to find out the day of weigh-ins that he's not going to make it and you already did. You know, that's just beyond devastating. And then for people to jump on Twitter, as I saw yesterday, to be mad that he didn't want to take a replacement fight. Guys, he's knocking on the door of a title fight. Why would he want to go against Lando? I know that was a great fight with Lando's debut where he went against Tony Ferguson, but there's so much to lose there. Going against Michael Johnson, so much to lose there. Why would you cut down on the momentum because you didn't make a mistake? You did all the things you needed to do to get there and be ready to fight tonight at UFC 209, and it didn't happen because of your opponent. You don't need to do that. This is a business, guys. For all of you who are mad about GSP and Bisping being the fight instead of Bisping and Yoel Romero, you're not paying attention to what the new regime wants to do. They are running a business. If you got the Fight Pass survey this week, they actually asked the question, if you're not a Fight Pass subscriber or former subscriber, they asked a question this week, would you like to see loser goes home, meaning loser gets cut matches in the UFC? We're in the new era of a WWE-esque organization. They are there to make money. They are there to make big fights. And the bigger fight is not Yoel Romero and Michael Bisping, which we'll talk about in a minute. The bigger fight is clearly GSP and Bisping. My point in saying all that is that if you know that and you're Tony Ferguson, why would you risk it? Yeah, it sucks. Yeah, it's devastating. Yeah, you went through all of that hell and then there's no fight. But you don't need to put it all at risk just to entertain the masses when you know that your next fight is with Conor McGregor. You don't do that stuff. All right, so the rest of tonight, like I said, there's a strawweight fight that you couldn't care less about and has really no impact whatsoever on the strawweight division or really anything, but that's what gets moved up. Starting out the main event, it's the same fight, Alistair Overeem and Mark Hunt, which could be fire or could be really, really boring. Now, Overeem is one of those guys who's redeveloped himself as a fighter over and over and over again. As of late, has looked really, really patient on the outside, which he's going to have to be because Mark Hunt is going to want to get in there and throw bombs. Now, Mark Hunt is a guy who's hard to put down. He's a guy who gets on top of you. He's going to be a nightmare. And he's super mad to have this fight because, as you may or may not know, he's actually in a legal battle with the UFC while fighting for the UFC. So that sort of stuff swirling around his head, I think makes it so that Overeem has a better than average shot in this fight, because being out of it even 1% mentally, being mad that this was the fight that you had to do, is not a good place to be at the heavyweight division for anyone who's fighting at the heavyweight division, especially fighting Alistair Overeem. So I like Overeem's shot in this one. That's not to say that Hunt can't put his lights out with a single blow, because he certainly can. We get Rashad Evans. He is fighting Daniel Kelly, who is a 7-time Olympian in wrestling. So this becomes a really, really interesting fight to watch, and is set up, at least, for Rashad's to lose. He's back up at 185, making, he had a couple health scares in the last half of last year, but he's at 185 fighting Daniel Kelly from Australia, who is 12-1. Rashad is 24-5. Again, this is Rashad's to lose, and it's a hard one for me to pick for as long as Rashad has been out and as little as I know about Daniel Kelly. I certainly like his wrestling pedigree, and I think that makes it interesting against another wrestler, but Yeah, I mean, this could be the dog of the night if there's going to be one, just because there's so much that we don't know about Rashad coming back, and being a crafty veteran, he can stay on the outside and keep things going for a minute or two. In the co-main event at this point, you get funky, groovy Lando Venata, who people are super excited about, taking on the Swede, David Teamer. This is going to be a fun fight. I like Venata's chances because Venata is one of those guys that can throw it from everywhere. And if these guys are going to stand in the middle and go for it, which I think they're going to, I think this could be a really, really fun fight. Now, I know not a lot of people are on the Lando bandwagon yet, but they will be, and this is a good look. Unlike the strawweight fight, which I couldn't be less excited about, this to me is a good look and something that people should be excited about. And the main event is obviously the sequel of the draw between Tyron Woodley and Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. These are when the fights get interesting, because when they're as close as they were the last time, number one, it makes it clearly hard to define who you think is going to win. Number two, it becomes this interesting. This is why people are so excited, or at least I'm so excited about if Jon Jones ever comes back and fights Daniel Cormier, because Jones has never had a rematch. And I'm fascinated to see if you got to fight him one time, what you would learn and how you would change your game plan. So Wonderboy, having fought Woodley one time already and it been a razor close fight, these are what makes up the sport. Now, will this end quickly? Man, I find that hard to believe. Not to say it couldn't happen, I find it hard to believe. So if it's another five-round war, it could be one of the fights of the year, because these two guys both know more about each other, clearly, than they did the first time. And the trash talking has been fun. But ultimately, while Woodley's got superpower, and if he can be... This is... much like Overeem and Hunt, just at a different caliber, right? Wonderboy's going to throw stuff from everywhere, which makes him really unpredictable and hard to manage. But if you can stay on the outside and you can stay patient and you're Tyron Woodley and you can drop people with those bombs that you have for a right and a left, to me, that's what he's going to have to do, is stay either close the distance, get super close, and make it an ugly, ugly grind out fight, or pick your shots and watch out for what Wonderboy throws. I don't like Woodley's chances on the outside with as much as Wonderboy can throw. I mean, GSP this week said he thought Wonderboy was the best striker in the entire sport, which is high praise. And I think he's really, really dangerous if you give him time to set all that stuff up. And he clearly, at certain points in the first fight, gave Wonderboy fits and starts, or sorry, gave Woodley fits and starts with his ability to shift, change, throw things from anywhere. Now, does he do it as hard as Woodley does? No. Does he need to? Nope. No, he doesn't. I'm a fan of Wonderboy. You know that I've been a fan of Wonderboy. This division is interesting, but this is really, for me, probably the most interesting fight in the division currently. Now, if we're talking about if Ferguson ends up going up because the weight cut becomes too much, this becomes a super interesting division with guys who are doing some really interesting stuff at 170. But for now, to me, this is the most competitive fight, which is why we're seeing it a second time and not anything else. And I'm going to go with Wonderboy in this one. I think he's going to figure it out and be a quicker start than he was the last time, and that's going to give Woodley some problems. Now, again, if Woodley can stay away from all the insane strikes, stay away from all of that stuff, and drop his power on Wonderboy, it's going to be his title to lose. It would be nice, you know, we've seen a lot of flux this year in titles, so it would be nice to start to see some fighters who can put some consistent fights together and hold the belt for a little bit longer without being injured or out or whatever. I mean, like, consistently defend the belt and hold it for a little bit longer. And if Woodley gets by Thompson, there won't be, I mean, they might make a case for a third one, and we can do that down the road, but it, I mean, let's get some more interesting fights going if that's what ultimately happens. So to me, if Woodley fights, I don't want to see a third one immediately. I would love to see if Robbie's ready to come back and do that. Maya clearly would be a great fight if that one's going to happen. So those two, I think, should happen. Maya, actually, I think, should happen before Lawler. But those would be the two I would do before I do Wonderboy 3. but we know the UFC and know that I have no control over that stuff. All right, one more thing that I want to talk about before we bounce, and that is Bisping and George St. Pierre. For as bummed as you might be about Nurmagomedov and Tony Ferguson, and believe me, I am as bummed as you possibly can be, that press conference between those two yesterday was straight fire, and I enjoyed every minute of it. And this fight, yeah, I get it. Yoel Romero's not involved. I get that. I also, if you've been listening to the show for more than a minute, know that I think Jacare is actually the one true king at 185, and everyone's just warming it up for him. So with that said, let's pretend those two things are not variables. If those two things aren't variables, this is an interesting fight from a couple of angles. One is Bisping traditionally is a bit of a slow starter. And when you're a slow starter with Yoel Romero, you know, you're trying to get out of the way of his giant hands and get out of the way of the wrestling. You've got time to put a game plan together. If you give George time, his fight IQ is the best in the business, bar none. You might be able to make a case for Conor McGregor, and I would certainly hear you out. But bar none, his fight IQ is off the charts. And if you give him time, he's going to figure you out, and he's going to give you problems. And I like that this is at 85. I like that there isn't a cut for him, so to speak. Now, Bisping's bigger than him. Sure he is, but he's a slow starter, and that's going to be a problem. If he jumps on George, again, Bisping for me, and I've said this a couple times on the show, Bisping has been the best story in MMA in recent memory. I mean, a guy who's been in the organization for 10 years, takes a fight on 3 days notice after drinking espressos with Vin Diesel and beats Luke Rockhold, who hasn't fought since. Like, that's a great story, guys. And being able to beat GSP, Bisping only lost to guys who are on TRT. Like, it's a fantastic story. So this for me is a fight that is super fascinating. And like I said, we'll talk more about it as it gets close. It looks like it's going to be July 8th. As that gets closer, though, we'll talk more about it. But for me, I like George's chances if we're taking all Michael Bisping's body of work at large. Now, he's certainly a guy who continues to reinvent himself, evolve as a fighter, and he probably knows that he's been a slow starter and needs to jump a little bit to get George reeling back, a la Matt Serra. And if he can get going quicker, he can certainly beat George St. Pierre. And we have a ton of questions to ask about, as long as George has been gone, what has happened to this industry? What has happened to certainly this division at 185? Because I do not like George's chances against Yoel Romero. I do not like George's chances against Jacare. I just don't. So once he gets through this, if he wins the belt, my guess would be, and you've seen this on Twitter over the last couple of days, my guess would be that's when you're going to see he and Anderson Silva, for no reason whatsoever, fight for this belt, and then one of them gets to get murdered by Yoel Romero or Jacare, probably Yoel. After this fight, I don't think, which is why I think yesterday George was like, yeah, I'm not really sure what I'm going to do. I got some plans, but I'm not really sure what they are. Because if he beats Michael Bisping and can't get Silva, I don't know that he's too excited about fighting Yoel Romero or Jacare. Because I don't think I would be very excited about fighting either one of those guys. All right, so the pay-per-view is about 5 hours away at this point. I wanted to get some stuff out for you guys so you can enjoy it before the fights happen. I hope you enjoy what fights are left on the card, even though we know that literally the best fight of the year has been scrapped. And it's my opinion. Now, I don't think they will cut him, but they certainly need to do something to Nurmagomedov. But it's my opinion we should never see Ferguson Nurmagomedov again unless Ferguson has the belt. This should be Ferguson and McGregor, and they should book it tonight in the ring if you're asking me what they should do from a promotional aspect. All right. Have a wonderful weekend. As always, you can follow along by searching WOW Show. It's Way of the Warrior. It is your MMA show.